Ready.
Neil.
How are you doing?
Well, so far, that's quite painless.
Yeah. I had a moment there where I couldn't hear myself, so I just ran off for a second and wasn't sure what's going on. But how are you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Very well, considering. Things good with you?
Yeah, good. I mean, you know, I think probably like everyone else, I think this third one, people are done now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The impression people are over it. If there's a fourth one, I think there'll be riots.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Had enough. But, you know, it's not that it hasn't got to be done, but it's, it's a year, isn't it?
So yeah.
That's a long time.
It is
but, you know,
time.
You're still doing music.
Funny you should mention that. I've been trying to get back into it after a very long period of not doing very much. I started doing the radio show last year after a very long time and not doing any radio as well, which is really good fun. And I thought that might be a bit of a catalyst to get me back into production. And it's taken me a little bit of a while to get back into it. But
I same as you, big gap, and then man got had a burglary. Actually, I had a it was weird. I had a burglary. Had my old, really old laptop nicked. And then when it was a case of getting a new one, I thought, oh, okay, do I not have Logic because I don't really do music anymore? Or do I get a new one? You know, get a new version. And I got a new version. It kind of made me get back into it a bit as well. So, but I had to sort of relearn it a bit. Get a bit rusty, don't you? It'll come back though.
Yeah, hopefully. But it's obviously come back for yourself because you got a whole new album.
Yeah, I got pretty much got into it properly around January, February last year.
It was pre-lockdown you started it.
I started dabbling pre-lockdown, and then during lockdown I got heavily into it, and I was pretty much in the evenings coming up to my spare room with a keyboard and a laptop, and that was it, and just got on with it, and actually kind of had to get back into using Logic and stuff. But then once I got my head around it, I was being very prolific, getting it out pretty quickly. I think there's, if you're kind of not in the scene, obviously we're in the break scene, but if you're out of that scene and people aren't really buying music, people aren't going to clubs, then you're a bit freer as to what sort of music you're making as well. So I was always a keyboard player, so I was thinking, right, I'm going to play keyboards and enjoy that and base things around it rather than thinking about who might play it or what speed it is.
That definitely comes across on the album because it's very varied, and although it has your sound to it, it's very varied, and I hope this is okay to say, it's probably your most musical piece.
Yeah. No. It's funny you should say that, because it's almost an insult, or it was, oh, it's a bit musical. And actually, because I am musical, I thought, do you know what? I am going to be musical because I can play keyboards and I like music. So I was also trying to do stuff that was maybe mid-tempo or down-tempo and bring club sensibilities to something that wasn't 130 plus BPM. So for me, I thought, do you know what? Do what I like, because if ever there's a time to do that, it's now, I think.
Absolutely. And what I like about the flow of the album as well is that it starts with a tune that grabs a Rennie Pilgrim fan, whilst also not being exactly the same as everything else you've done before. It's got enough in there that you can tell it's you, and it will appeal to people that like your music, but it's also pushing it a little bit and saying, I'm doing something different now.
That makes sense. I mean, to be honest, I haven't really been listening to what's going on in, let's say, the break scene. And when I've played at various gigs and have been mainly playing either my own older music or classics, what I've heard as the sort of new stuff has been this sounds a bit rude, but a little bit blokey sounding, and a little bit still the hangover of the more blokey sound of dubstep coming through. And very digital. And yeah. It's not an area, there's nothing wrong with it. Some of the production is phenomenal, but it wasn't sexy, it wasn't groovy, a lot of it, and didn't, I always found a successful track for me as if playing it in a club, if there were girls dancing at the front, because then it made a nicer atmosphere. So I was deliberately not trying to go down that route of what people have been doing in the scene, because I'm not in the scene, I'm outside it looking in. So I've quite enjoyed doing something that's not trying to, you know, like I got beef from a very good friend of mine because the track you're talking about goes into two-step halfway through, or one of them goes into a bit of two-step. I'm like, what are you doing, fucking two-step? And it's like, yeah, do you know what? Because I quite like some of that and I quite fancy doing it. And guess what? For me, there's no rules anymore. Hmm. Do what you like.
Absolutely. So
the plan was there's no plan.
I think that's a great way to get back into production as well. Like we were saying earlier before we started, sometimes you just got to do something. And if it's just something that you're feeling and that you like the sound of, then you shouldn't necessarily think about it too much and think, is this going to sell? Is there a place for this? It's just got to come out and get finished.
And actually, you're right. The word feeling is probably the most important thing, because if ideally you want to feel something while you're making it, and you want someone to hear it and feel something, because if it gets too digital, it's hard to feel any emotion in it. Maybe that's just me, my age or my experience or whatever, but the idea of feel, is whether you're doing whatever art form, is really, really important. It's more important than technique.
Absolutely. A couple of my favorite tracks on the album are actually quite sort of disco flavored. As you get towards the middle section of the album, it really kind of gets to a slower tempo and a real kind of funk and disco vibe. Was there anything in particular that sparked that?
Just that's the music I grew up with. Basically, I grew up with disco, funk and dub. So you're talking around the kind of almost before hip hop. So I grew up listening to War, Stevie Wonder, and then people like Prince and, Earth, Wind and Fire. And so disco and funk that's when I was 15, 16, started going to clubs. And when I was 15, 16 in bands as a saxophone player, it was all about disco and funk. And I liked disco, but I preferred funk because it was a bit harder. And I preferred funk beats. So I liked the vibe of disco, but I didn't really like the kind of four on the floor thing. So that's kind of harking back. I was thinking, okay, imagine if I could have made a track when I was 16 of the kind of stuff I was listening to. It's like that, really.
Thank you.
I like the fact that there are little elements of even rave or techno or house or breaks or little elements in there that show it's not just a retro tune.
Yeah, and touching on that as well, you mentioned the kind of old school vibe as well, because again, towards the beginning of the album, there is a very much a feel of old school, but with obviously newer sounding production. But I don't know if it's because I'm sort of in that world a little bit. You know, when I'm not doing this, I'm putting on family raves, you know, and a lot of the old school DJs come and play for us. So we're hearing that music a lot, obviously, when we're not locked down. And it sounds very genuine. Was that something that that you really wanted, or did that just come out naturally?
I think probably the first couple of things I did getting back into music, we did a rhythm section track based on a track that we did 25 years ago that we reimagined and was on vinyl, and that kind of got me listening to stuff and auditioning old school sounds. And then one of the guys from rhythm section, I started a thing called Gentlemen Ravers, and we liked the idea that we were ravers but now middle-aged and doing some tracks that were like that. I guess the vibe for me when I shortly after I met LSD and we started rhythm section and going to those raves, that vibe was unbelievable. It was a bit, really, in many ways I'd say it's bigger than punk. because punk was huge because of the vibe of it, but rave meant that people in their bedrooms with a few hundred quid's worth of equipment were producing tunes that didn't need to go through the record companies. So it was the start of the revolution. So yeah, there's a big nostalgia there, and I like the rawness of it, and I like the almost the simplicity, and it was almost, they're almost like pop tunes, but a lot of rave tunes were quite poppy in the way they were made. So yeah, there was an element of doing that and thinking, okay, I'm not going to do an album full of that, but I like having, for instance, the landlord noise, which anyone listening who's been into rave would know that noise. Having something like that noise resonates with anyone, whether you were taking ease or not. There's something about that noise that just always does it for me.
And nice to hear lots of vocals on the album as well. Mm. Were you working with recording new vocals? Were they samples or a mix of the two?
I wanted to do the album that was sample free, and I basically got hold of lots of different sample free vocals and quite often chopped them up and made my own vocals out of them, or pitched them up and down, or created stuff from things that were free. So I'd love to be working with vocals once lockdown's done and etc. But I like vocals, you know, and it was probably like millions of producers out there. Everyone's got that huge bank of illegal a cappellas that you can use. But you know, for me, I wanted to do this album and then get it released via a company where maybe it could be on films or ads or TV or whatever, because that's pretty much the way you might make money out of it, apart from exposure. So they're all kosher vocals from various free sources, but mainly tweaked a bit to do my own thing with them.
Don't.
there's definitely a very I'm not going to use the word commercial because that pushes the wrong button sometimes, but there's an uplifting element to those tunes that I think probably a lot of people right now are going to feel two things when they hear them. They're going to think, well, that's made me feel better. And secondly, I can't wait to hear this in a club.
I think that was, as I was doing it, I was thinking, I don't really want to do stuff that sounds miserable or dark, because everyone's in a pretty dark, miserable place. So the idea that, and also I was mindful of, there aren't clubs going, there aren't raves happening, there aren't outside parties. So you're talking about music that people will be hearing in their houses. So that, I like the idea that someone could listen to something, and I like the idea that you could have more vocals than usual without a DJ going, oh mate, have you got a dub version? Because I don't like vocals. Or, but so yeah, so I like the fact of if it makes you feel something, and it makes you feel good or even bittersweet, which I like. You know, I think some of them are a bit bittersweet. But yeah, that was the, I thought I'm going with this because I like working. I've always liked working with vocals, but the normal where we used to get dance vocals, they're either illegal or they were a bit kind of, say Sharon and Tracy, you know, lift you up baby, feel the vibe, feel the rush, that kind of stuff, which I've heard too much. So I was trying to be a bit creative with it. Yeah. Am I right in thinking you've had a bit of a break from DJing whilst you've not been producing so much? You've also had a break from DJing? I have. I've still kept an agent, but I still kept playing. I've pretty much always been playing in Spain a couple of times a year. And really, maybe last year, I started doing more gigs and really enjoying it because I hadn't done quite so many. And really enjoying it and playing, I suppose, classic stuff, digging up stuff that I thought was really good, but not necessarily the most obvious tunes in the world. So I've picked and chosen gigs if they were good. So I've done gigs in London. I've done a couple of festivals that I've really enjoyed. Shindig. And yeah, always done Spain, which, you know, they've always been incredibly supportive of breaks. And I funnily enough, I played it, you know, Industria Copera. It's in Malaga, but it's been there forever. It's changed venues, but I played there and there was a 14-year-old kid called Jesus on the decks practicing. It was his dad's club, and he was phenomenal. Like, I'd say second only to Carl Copps and how good he was as a techno DJ, but 14, 15. Anyway, 25 years later, he's now the owner of the club, and I played for him, last year, maybe January or February, I think it was. But so that's how long I've been there, so I've always done Spain, and I know what they want, and they know what I'm going to play, so that's one of those places. But so yeah, I didn't stop, but the year before lockdown, I did probably the most I've done in 10 years. But I, weirdly, because I don't do it so often, I'm much better and I enjoy it more because I don't feel like you're locked into that competitive and, you know, the whole, oh, what's someone else going to play? Or what's this happening? Where's it? So I kind of started doing a bit more.
Are you looking, has lockdown made you sort of almost more hungry to get out there again and do more DJing once we're allowed back out again?
Could, yeah, not for the sake of it, not every week, but if they're a good gig and if everything's right, then yeah, I'm happy to do it. I was very late discovering Record Box, so I did a few gigs and thought, Christ, these guys are good. And then you realise with Record Box that actually there's no such thing as not being able to beat Matt, but gives you a whole new creative avenue. So yeah, I think I'm not done. I'd very much like to do Australia once more. But at the moment I'd say three quarters of the way through a new album as well.
So wow.
I've been really going for it, and I'm very, very pleased with that as well. Oh, so fantastic. I suppose if you don't make music for 10 years and then you get back to it, then I had a lot of kind of ideas that were bubbling under the surface of what I've been doing. So
I was going to ask you about the obvious question. Obviously, we're still in the lockdown. Have you been live streaming much? I know you played for the Global Breaks Festival a couple of weeks ago. Was that 2-3 yeah. weeks ago?
I haven't been live streaming. I haven't really got the setup, and I've also got a great old pair of Mackie speakers that seem to turn on and off when they feel like it. So I haven't been doing the full-on DJing thing. I've been creating DJ sets in Logic and mainly trying to play my new stuff, so my album and newer stuff. So I've been doing a few of those.
I guess that's sort of really what I was getting at was when you're producing new music, the first thing you want to do is play it to an audience,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and obviously with no events going on, it's a bit difficult to do that. So,
but I've been doing my own visuals to go with it. So rather than me just sit there with having pre-done a set, I've been creating an hour's worth of visuals to go with the DJ set, which I've been quite liking kind of marrying the two up. I'm not going to be leaping around in a room on my own with loads of bells and whistles acting like I'm having it, because I wouldn't even do that in front of 20,000 people, let alone mum, not me. But I'll do the other side of it.
Yeah, that's a nice segue actually, because I was going to touch on your side of your life as an artist. Obviously when you were less busy on the production side, you were very prolific in the art world.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about?
Yeah, I put my name down for an art studio while I still had a music studio, and then got quite a big space where I kind of on the quiet had a little studio set up and then started doing art. This was about 10 years ago. And I was very lucky in that I sort of hit a seam of doing art, doing visual art is very same as doing music, where you do something for a few years and then you might get a bit of a vibe and a style going, which is very important. And I put something into the RA summer show that I was pleased with, and it got in first go and sold really well as a limited edition print. And so really for the last 10 years, I've been growing as a visual artist. So very similar to, again, to let's say DJing, where you start doing little shows and you start having stuff in cafes and then you do something slightly bigger and et cetera. So it's been growing really well. And I had a bit of a head start, because doing digital art was, if you know how to do music, which is digital, then doing digital art is a very similar thing with layers like tracks and stuff. So I got that very quickly, and then started doing painting based on what I've been doing digitally. So, and I'm leaning much more to doing one-off pieces. I've got lots of limited edition prints, digital stuff that I'm really into, that's based on bits of photography and almost visual samples that you do stuff with. And now I've been doing stuff with wood, doing stuff with veneer, and doing quite barren, snowy landscapes with trees, and quite minimal. So yeah, I'm doing that, and I'm doing a lot of music now, but I'm certainly not giving up on doing the art. That's as important to me as doing the music, because it's now I realise that it's if you like creating stuff, then whether you're doing it as music or something visual, it's the same deal, really. So if I do a couple of days doing music, then I'm craving to get in my studio at the end of the garden and do something physical and make stuff. So yeah, it's been going well. And I've got my new site has been, I've sort of married the two, the art and the music, which is, I thought, well, if I'm known for music and other people know me for art, then have one destination.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I was having a little look earlier on the site, and obviously I've been keeping in touch with, you know, posting things on Facebook and stuff, and seeing your art pieces. It's like you say, it's that nice marriage, and when you can bring something together. Am I right in is the artwork for the album by yourself as well?
What, the Movers and Shakers?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm. I find that a nice thing when two different sides of somebody can come together and produce.
Well, I am trying to marry them all together. So for instance, for Spotify, there's something called Canvas where you can have 8-second animations, and so I've used my art for each track. You can do that for that, and I'm trying to combine the two. And for instance, doing the streaming where you're creating the visuals as well, is using both sides, so I like it. In fact, I've got half an idea with the next album to have it where each track has effectively a visual film that goes with it or something. I'm not quite sure how to do it, but I like marrying the two. Yeah.
And if anyone wants to see that, or indeed check out the music and buy the music, you can go and visit www.rennypilgrim.com.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic. Get that plug in there. I did see something on Facebook. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this at all, but just sticking in the visual world, that you've done some work with somebody on, you've become a character in a video game.
Yeah, maybe a year and a half ago. I did some music for a film that a friend did, like literally a no budget film. And I was in it a little bit because I was doing a favor as a heavy, and the actress in it said, oh, have you ever thought about doing extra work? Cause you've got the right look, i.e. a thug. and so anyway, long story short, I became an extra for 3 or 4 years when I stopped doing music and was in stuff like, Johnny English 2, Captain America. I was in the last ever scene of the last ever Harry Potter movie. So I was doing that. And to do that, you're with an agency. And I got a thing through saying, are you willing to go to Sheffield and you'll photograph to be a character in a video game? And so I went up there, and these guys have got 200 cameras at every angle you can imagine. And they're taking pictures of you from all angles, and then get you to say different vowels and different mouth movements, and then they can create a character. And unfortunately, I'm not allowed to say what it is, because if they find out you've been blabbing, then you supposedly get into a lot of trouble. But yeah, that was cool. And also what was cool is they were big fans of my music. So the picture I put on Facebook of me posing with these things were because they were into my stuff. So yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I've seen what they, the wireframe and the 3D version of me. Oh, it's not flattering. It's not flattering at all. It's not what I was hoping. But what can you say?
Maybe they can tweak it a bit, you never know.
No, but that's how they tweaked it. Oh. They were really making me into a very unpleasant, nasty monster. But hey, I haven't checked it out, but I will do the game. Well,
when we're allowed to let people know about that, we certainly will.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you touched there on making music for film? Is that something that you've sort of done? Because I know that a lot of producers got to a point where, you know, club music wasn't cutting it, and they very much pushed more onto the sync and soundtrack world. Is that something that you've sort of delved into at all, or was that just a one-off?
No, I have delved into it, but I was a bit, there was a time when the label was going really well and the scene was really well, and there were lots of offers saying, can we use this? Can we try and get stuff for your music? And I felt like people taking half of the ownership of your music was a bit much. Whereas if you come into it knowing that that's going to happen, then it's fine. So I have had stuff on films, and I've done a couple of ads, and I've done a couple of things for Sony PlayStation. This is 10 years ago. And what I've been doing now with the album is it's been released by a company who aim to get stuff as syncs. So they release it as a normal album, but that's where their focus is. So I feel like I've got the best of both worlds, because I'm doing music that are tracks that I'm really into, and then I'd rather do it that way around than doing stuff, let's say doing library music where someone might use it as background, and then you're doing tracks like that. But there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like I've got the best of both worlds if I do a track I like. And from what I understand, the industry, they're looking more towards getting the real thing rather than getting talented musicians and saying, oh, can you do a sort of hip-hop track like Portishead? I think the people are trying to get the real thing. So if someone wants, if they're looking for a breakbeat track or a track influenced by rave, then it makes more sense to go to someone that has lived that. So that's the plan.
Fantastic. You mentioned the label there, and I was going to come back to the label, obviously TCR. Any plans to do anything label-wise?
Well, the album that I've signed to this label called Pretty Decent Music Records, I've kind of signed an exclusive writing deal with them for a couple of years, but I'm quite keen to get TCR up and running. So I think what I might do is start doing remixes of some of my earlier stuff and getting it out there. The difficulty is obviously people aren't really buying music. So if you're not careful, you can do a lot of effort trying to release stuff, but there's no money in plays on Spotify unless you're getting a million plays, and there's not really any money in selling it. So you've got to be, that's why you've got to really do stuff that you're really into, put it out there and think, do you know what? I love this. If you like it, great. But you can't do that as a, oh, I need to, in the TCR days on vinyl, you'd release vinyl and you pretty much know that you'd sell a couple of thousand. And so you and the artist would be making money on it. Now, I've got no idea, but I don't think it's anything to get excited about.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you do hear within industry, you know, bits and pieces that you see online that vinyl sales are up and up and up they're continually going up. But I don't know what that's in comparison to, because I see all these wonderful articles saying, you know, oh, we sold more vinyl last year than we ever have. But the things that I'm hearing from people are more like, well, you know, if you sell 500 copies, that's good.
Oh yeah, it's a different, from what I understand, having done a rhythm section tune, it's different. So you might do 200 copies, but they might be 15, 20 quid each. So they're a kind of for collectors. So whereas, let's say vinyl 15 years ago would be 4 or 5 quid, you might only do much fewer and sell that many. So it works to do that, but it's quite a big outlay because you've got to get stuff mastered and do all that kind of stuff. But that, I think that's where it is. It's a different thing, where instead of you trying to sell 5,000 copies of something, if you sold 500, you'd probably be very happy because you'd be selling them for a lot more, and it's for a different market.
Well, it's really, really good to hear that you know, there's potential for TCR to come back, because you know, it's always been a particular figurehead in the break scene, one of my favourite labels, as you know. You know, that's really great news. I think there'll be a lot of people out there listening that, firstly, I hope there's a lot of people listening, but secondly, I think there's a lot of people that that will be really pleased to hear that.
Yeah, I think that's the, I think my plan is I'm going to finish my next album and then I'm going to start doing remixes of stuff, and then get that out there and, you know, see what happens.
Fantastic. Pretty good news. See that primarily as an outlet for your own music, or do you think you might get back into putting out other people's music as well? And following on from that, are there any particular artists within the break scene or any other scene that new producers that you're really liking at the moment?
I'm ashamed to say I've almost deliberately not been listening to it, so I've just been doing my own thing in my own bubble. I would love to release other people's stuff, but I just wouldn't want to get into the whole royalty account thing, you know, like now there's almost nothing sells, but the idea of having a roster, if there was someone that did that side of it, then fine, but I think I'm more into doing my own stuff and maybe collaborating. And let's say there's a track I did 15 years ago, then where it works now is you can get someone to do a remix and they might get half of the royalties or something, you know, because there's not money for fees. So I maybe collaborate and have other people's stuff like that. But as it is, I wouldn't want to be pouring through a few pounds to try and apportion to different people and to be signed up to all the different bodies and stuff. I think as now I'm doing music and art, I think the more time I can do spending that, the happier I am, rather than the admin side of it.
Well, it sounds like there's lots to look forward to if you're a Rennie Pilgrim fan and TCR fan and a Breaks fan in general, or generally a music fan, which is really, really nice to hear. And it's been quite a while since we've spoken. And that's all part of life, but it's been really nice to catch up with you.
And you.
And fingers crossed.
Glad that you're out of jail. Because I always thought that you were innocent.
and you never know. This is my wish anyway. Hopefully, we're all okay. We all get out of lockdown, and we can have another TCR barbecue one day.
Do you know what I was about to say? That after having said, right, that's done, I think to do another one of those as a reunion would be fantastic.
right, you heard it here first. I think that's something that definitely has to happen. I reminisce fondly often about those days. And
Oh God, yeah. How good were they? I mean, they just ticked all the boxes, really, with the support they got and the love it got from people going to those parties, and also the mojitos drunk. Sometimes they would, the people that ran the bar stroke club would have to scour the local area for the ingredients to make more booze, more cocktails. So how good is that?
It was always a highlight of the you know, the calendar in the year.
Yeah, I agree.
And I remember the time I got asked to play the warm up set, and it was like it was as if somebody had just asked me to go and play Glastonbury Festival. I was always very, very, I felt very privileged to have played a few times at that, and it didn't matter to me whether it was a headline set or the first set of the day.
No, I think it's got to be done.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, we need to make sure that happens.
I'll
make sure we get people putting the pressure on for that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I presume probably this July is too hopeful, but I suppose it'd have to be next summer.
Can you remember the year? I should have looked this up. Can you remember the last year that you put one on?
No, I think it was about maybe 5 years ago. Mm. No, maybe longer. No, I'm not sure. Mm.
There's got to be some sort of significant number that will match up nicely make a real big deal of it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think by the time that would happen, TCR would be a quarter of a century old. So that would be a great time to do it, wouldn't it?
Perfect timing. Perfect timing. You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah definitely.
Well, that's brilliant. Listen, thanks very much for your time, Rennie. It's been really, really nice talking to you.
And
catching up again.
And you.